Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I am Jennifer Hadley, and I am so grateful to be here with you today. And by here, I mean in the one mind together. And I am here only to be truly helpful and to share what I am learning, because I am an active student of A Course in Miracles. And it is my great pleasure for us to join together with all of our questions and with the Holy Spirit to answer them. Our theme is all about opening up our spiritual sight, cultivating spiritual sight. It's about dedicating ourselves to really listening to Spirit, hearing that one voice that Jesus talks about in A Course in Miracles, and being the happy learner, the grateful listener, that we're being led and guided in every moment, and that we can learn so much more easily through joy than through pain. But many of us have cultivated the habit of learning through pain. And now we're shifting, because we realize that we can, and that it is our divine destiny to learn through joy instead of learning through pain. But many of us don't really know how, so we're learning how. And the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding all of us every moment of every day. And if we're willing, we will perceive that. So our whole theme of these 11 classes is cultivating spiritual sight, which is divine insight, divine wisdom, divine guidance, inspiration, intuition. All of these terms work well for us in cultivating spiritual sight. And we're getting off what I call the pain train. We're getting off the pain train. We're moving out of learning through pain and suffering and expanding into love, learning through joy, expanding into love and learning through joy. So in the 11 classes, we're going to cover as much as we can in terms of what we personally have learned about applying the teachings of A Course in Miracles for expanding our intuition, releasing the habits of learning through pain, and being more joyful, more happy, more harmonious, more loving. It's a great, great group of teachers. I admire them all, and some are dear friends, and so it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to come together. I've enjoyed doing things with each one of these teachers previously, John Mundy and Lisa Mottoli, Gary Renard, Miranda McPherson. I've done a number of things with each of them. Well, Miranda only won Living A Course in Miracles class before, but we had a very, very good time. It's a good connection there. So how wonderful we get to come together in joy to share. So I'd like to thank you for showing up for yourself, showing up for your brothers and sisters, your family, and your community. Over the years, people have told me so many times that until they heard some of these Living A Course in Miracles classes, although they had been studying the teachings of A Course in Miracles for sometimes as much as 30 years, they hadn't really thought to live and apply them the way we're talking about until they heard these classes. And once they started to apply them the way we're talking about, they started to experience a much more loving and miraculous life. Another wonderful benefit of these classes is that people who have not studied A Course in Miracles but have had that book on their shelf or have heard about it decide to make that commitment to begin to really work the course and live the course, and it's life-changing for them. And I've had so many wonderful experiences of connecting with people who've done just that, and they've shared with me the differences that it made, not just in their lives, but their family, their coworkers, their friends, their community. So whether you're listening live with me as I'm sharing or you're listening later, these are the benefits that we're all rippling out. And I was recently at, I am going to start with a prayer. I always start with a prayer, but for whatever reason, I'm doing these things first. I'm just following spirit. I was in Utah at a Course in Miracles conference at Easter with Jimmy Twyman and a lot of other wonderful people. And we were given an opportunity to give a little 15-minute kind of pre-talk, and mine was and it was the day before my talk the next morning. So I said, as I was directed to say, that tomorrow morning when you come to this room to hear what I'm going to share, I'm letting you know right now, giving you a big heads up, to intend, starting now and all through your evening and in your morning as you're preparing to come here, that you're preparing to have an extraordinary, miraculous healing beyond anything you can imagine. This is what I'm told you're to prepare for. And I'm inviting you to really take that on. And the next day, all throughout the day, people came up to me. This was after my sharing at the my sharing in the morning, which was so beautiful. People came up to me and said, "I'm so glad you instructed us to prepare for a healing, because I really did that and I received it and I am grateful." So this is the precursor to our prayer, because many times people will pray, go into prayer, or come to a class, come to something that they're interested in, or maybe they think, "I should listen to this. This would be good for me. Other people are going to listen to this, and I'd like to be able to say I heard it too." There's all kinds of reasons why people could be listening to this class right now. But there is so much benefit when we open our heart in great willingness and say, "I am intending to join with these fellow students of A Course in Miracles, the ones who are leading the classes and the ones who are listening, to join with this group with the strong intention and the goal that this will be so profound, so healing, so expansive, that my life will be forever changed, that I indeed will experience the resurrection, and I will not need to crucify myself or anyone else ever again. And that all of those habits of playing small, living in lack, attack, limitation, and separation will fall away. It costs nothing extra. Of course, all these classes are free, but even if they weren't, it costs nothing extra to set a powerful intention. We are the love of God. We are so powerful, and yet we do not stand in our power much of the time, and we can. This is a habit for us to change. So I'm inviting us all here as we move into prayer to place our hand on our heart and take that breath of love and gratitude with me. So grateful, so open, so willing to have a healing. All doubt, any thought that, oh, it'll work for others but not for me, any idea that we're not worthy of miraculous healing, or that miraculous healing requires us to do something more than be willing, we're letting that fall away here and now, resolve and dissolve permanently back to the root cause so we never experience it again. We're opening ourselves to a revelation of truth. The truth is written in our heart. It is our very nature. We are grateful and thankful to accept and to allow ourselves to remember that we are already perfect, that we cannot become any more perfect than we already are. And so taking this breath of love and gratitude, we partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self, our true identity, the great and mighty I am that I am. We allow all doubt, all worry, all fear, all regret, all guilt, blame, and shame to be placed on the holy altar fire of divine love. We're giving it all to the Holy Spirit for healing right now. We're cultivating a great willingness, a total willingness to leave the past behind, to leave the habits of the past and regurgitating the past, reliving the past. We're letting them go now. We are truly grateful and truly thankful to allow ourselves to live in the unprecedented, unlimited. We are grateful and thankful to allow ourselves to experience profound healing that we share with everyone because we're one with them. So grateful to allow the healing to be. So grateful to allow our freedom, our perfection, our beauty, our abundance to be revealed. We're accepting our wholeness. In gratitude, we let it be. In gratitude, we know it's done. And so it is. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So the topic of this first class in this series and the homework class tomorrow, two classes with me right up front, is our topic is ending your personal crucifixion story. Honestly, this year, 2017, to me, the theme of the year seems to be resurrection. And what I've come to be very aware of this year is that there is in our human journey, we have chosen this pathway of crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. And if we look at Jesus, the master teacher, the master pastor, he came to demonstrate that, right? I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That we would come to realize that, lo and behold, no matter that it seems we've been betrayed by the ones we're closest to, no matter that our body has been desecrated, no matter that, no matter any of that, that we can resurrect not only physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and we can be completely renewed and restored and even brought to a higher level of physical functioning, we can ascend. We can be done and complete with the human journey, in a sense. Although, if anyone, in a sense, is not complete with the human journey, it's Jesus, because he's walking with all of us all of the time on our human journey. And so, however, the resurrection cannot begin until we're complete with the crucifixion. So Jesus' crucifixion seemed to be complete when his physical body was pronounced dead and placed in the tomb. That was the end of his crucifixion story. And if we would like to choose resurrection, which we can, and Jesus said, nobody else has to be crucified. And this is what he says in A Course in Miracles. Nobody else has to be crucified. I did that, been there, done that. I did it for all of us. Nobody has to repeat it. There's no value to repeating that crucifixion or any crucifixion. And yet, we're still doing that. We're still being martyrs. We're still allowing ourselves to think like a martyr, to act like a martyr, a victim, and that we're crucified, that we keep our personal crucifixion stories going and going and going and going. In fact, many of us, and this certainly was me, I used to look for the ways in which I was being betrayed. And I used to catalog them all the time, thinking, I have to keep track of all of these betrayals. I have to keep track of all these things that people are doing wrong, and I have to hold them accountable and make them feel guilty for it. And that was one of the ways that I kept my personal crucifixion story going. So I'm going to invite you to turn within here for a moment and consider, Is there any story that you're actively keeping going where you think someone has done you wrong or they've wounded you? They've done something to you. They've betrayed you. They've hurt you. Maybe you even feel crucified. The invitation here is to really be willing to look at these. And if you're listening to this like a real class, I invite you, especially if you're listening later, to you'll be able to pause anywhere you like, of course, when you're listening later, or on the webcast. You could do that as well. And I do encourage you to come back and listen again. I do encourage you to invite friends, make an appointment, come and listen to these classes together. If you have a study group, a Course in Miracles study group, it's a great thing to do together. Gather some friends, have some food, and make an afternoon or an evening or a morning of it. These practices are really valuable because when we're the two or more who are gathered, then there's that Christ energy right there. And it's deeply healing and transformative when we're doing it together. This is why joining, as A Course in Miracles says, is so healing and powerful for us. And it does require some real willingness to be able to be authentic and transparent with other people and to share. And it also, I find, will more often than not support people in having a greater commitment to actually doing the work versus just listening. Because just listening isn't that helpful. It's really doing the work. And that's why we call this Living A Course in Miracles series classes. We don't really think of it like a telesummit. It's a teleclass because I'm really interested in supporting people in having practices that they can do that will support their transformation. So I invite you to make a list of the people that you feel betrayed you, or you feel there's a crucifixion happening. And the more you're interested in your freedom, in the release, in moving from poverty to prosperity, and moving from illness to wholeness, in moving from pain to joy, suffering to sweetness, the more you're interested in making that transition and that transformation, the more willing you will be to actually apply these things. So if we believe that someone else has done something to us, where we are feeling betrayed or crucified, what we're actually doing by holding it that way in our mind is we're seeing ourselves as a victim. And as long as we're promoting ourselves as a victim and holding ourselves that way, we're not able to actually move into that resurrection and the joy. And I see this all the time because I have a boot camp class. It's called Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp. And I'll tell you about that at the end of the series. But in there and in my year-long Masterful Living course, year after year after year after year, I see so many people who become inspired and willing to do the work, move out of that crucifixion story. And I don't think it's easy for any of them. It certainly hasn't been easy for me, far from easy. But there is a great benefit to doing it together, and this is why I promote study groups and group learning, group processes, because I think when we join together as a group, we more quickly release the shame, the blame, and we can see each other as ourselves. We can see ourselves in each other, and this brings tremendous benefit and healing. So if we think someone has done something to us or betrayed us, then what we've forgotten is that there is only one, and we're really thinking that we're separate. It's one of the greatest tricks of the ego to keep us in separation thinking, is for us to go down the road of feeling betrayed or crucified or victimized. It really is one of the best tools of the ego to keep us spinning around in pain and suffering. If we're actively feeling crucified, now you might feel actively being, that you're feeling crucified by something right now that's happening in your body, your family, your relationships, your workplace. And if that's how you're feeling, I'm going to invite you to take a look. What are your main thoughts about that? What are your main thoughts about that? What are your main beliefs about that? What you're experiencing right now? If you feel like there's a crucifixion or a betrayal that's happening in your body, your workplace, your relationships, your family, your friends, your community, What are your primary thoughts about that? It's very valuable to be willing to look at these thoughts, because this is how we bring things into manifestation. And most of us, probably most of us who would participate in this class, we have been studying books and audios and classes and workshops and retreats for decades. Most of us. And for me, myself, I was in ministerial school, and I had been studying for many years. Many years. I was in ministerial school in my 40s when I realized that I truly was not even close to walking my talk. That I was still getting in my own way every single day and blaming it on other people. I was getting in my own way every single day and still blaming it on other people. And I made a decision, and I have learned the power of a decision because of this. I made a decision, enough. Enough. From now on, I am handing this over to the Holy Spirit. I'm done with being false and playing small. I'm going all in for God. I am going to claim my awakening, my resurrection, my ascension, my enlightenment. It's not going to happen unless I do. It's not enough for me, Jennifer Hadley, to just be a spiritual student, to just be a minister, to be these things in the world. No. I have to move into my heart and be all in my heart, which means I have to be willing to give up blaming others and attacking others. Now, I want to honestly tell you that there has been no day since that day I made that decision that I haven't had judgments, complaints, and attack thoughts. But now I know that they are not valuable to me. They are not helping me. And as soon as my peace is disturbed, I can turn immediately to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I'm not interested in playing small anymore. I'm not interested in being false anymore. I'm not interested in learning through pain anymore. I'm not interested in suffering anymore. I am interested in being the love of God. Love holds no grievances. My favorite lesson, lesson 68. Love holds no grievances. I am created by love as love, to teach only love, for that is what I am. And I am to teach it all to myself, first and foremost. And there is that within me which knows the way. And I'm going to let that within me that knows the way lead the way. And so that's when I began saying, Higher Holy Spirit Self. Because the Holy Spirit is not apart from me. The mighty I Am presence is the Holy Spirit. It is my higher self. There is no separation, and I'm not interested in separation thinking. So that became my part of my daily spiritual practice, was to be willing to recognize the judgments and the opinions, the attack thoughts, the resentments and the regrets, the blame and the shame. And as part of my spiritual practice, to keep handing them over to the Holy Spirit all throughout the day, which is truly living A Course in Miracles. Every time my peace is disturbed, oh, wait a minute. I must have chosen wrongly, because I am not at peace. I'm the decider. We are the deciders. Other people do not decide for us. Now, part of the practice of A Course in Miracles is to every day say to the higher Holy Spirit self, you decide for me. But we know people decide for us. I mean, somebody might be able to decide for us what kind of food that they're going to bring home for dinner without consulting us because we can't be reached, but we still don't have to decide to eat it. So in every moment of every day, we're making decisions. And what A Course in Miracles teaches us is to say to the higher Holy Spirit self, you decide for me. At the beginning of the day, and let that carry us through the day. People ask me, what does that mean? Saying to the Holy Spirit, you decide for me. How will I know what the Holy Spirit has decided? Well, we become attuned through our willingness to recognize the still small voice for God. And if we're willing, we will recognize it. If we're not willing, we won't recognize it. It's that simple. So this is why our cultivation of the willingness is the key that unlocks the door to our awakening. So if we're actively feeling crucified by something right now, the way out is to turn within and to do the thing that will make the ego want to jet puke, which is to take total responsibility for it. I know it seems, what? They are attacking me. I'm going to take responsibility for it. Yes, that's right. Because everything that seems to be happening to us is actually happening by us. And we're going to get into that. But that's the willingness, is to say, okay, I'm responsible for everything I see, and everything is just as I wish it to be. That's my little rhyme that I made of the responsibility for sight section. And we'll get more into how deeply healing that is later on. I'd like to share with you some... There's a lot in A Course in Miracles about crucifixion and resurrection, and it's my page 565, it's chapter 27, section 1, which is entitled The Picture of the Crucifixion. And in there it says, whenever you consent to suffer pain, to be deprived, unfairly treated, or in need of anything, you but accused your brother of attack upon God's Son. You hold a picture of your crucifixion before his eyes, that he may see his sins are writ in heaven in your blood and death, and go before him, closing off the gate and damning him to hell. Yet this is writ in hell and not in heaven, where you are beyond attack, and prove his innocence. The picture of yourself you offer him, you show yourself and give it all your faith. The Holy Spirit offers you to give to him a picture of yourself in which there is no pain and no reproach at all. And what was martyred to his guilt becomes the perfect witness to his innocence. So, let's talk about this, because one of the key things about the crucifixion and standing in that place of martyrdom and victimhood is that we cannot do it and stand in our power. We cannot affirm that we have been victimized and stand in our power. Do you know anyone who really acts like a martyr? I've known people in my life who have truly walked and talked and acted and behaved and thought like a martyr, like a victim. And people who act like a martyr believe they have to sacrifice their happiness, their health, their wealth, or themselves in order to make someone else happy or free. Martyrs will sacrifice themselves when no one is asking them to. This is a common theme. I see many people that will do this again and again and again, and they get burned by it again and again and again. Burned and burned again. So let's take a look at this here, okay? If you, maybe this is something you do, maybe it's someone you know who does this, that they will take steps, take actions, make choices that will leave them feeling left out, deprived, put upon, taken advantage of, misused, enslaved, all different permutations. And then they say they're doing it to help someone. They're making a sacrifice to help someone or for the greater good. The truth is, and this is why I love A Course in Miracles, well, just one of the many things I love about A Course in Miracles, is it tells us there's no sacrifice, not in this world. There's no sacrifice. That's an illusion. Sacrifice is just a story that goes along with separation, with crucifixion, with victimhood, with feeling separate. Those who are empowered don't need to make any sacrifices. And if you look at the life of Jesus, did he make sacrifices? You could say he gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life. But if you said that, you'd have to think that there was something he could have done with his life that would have been more valuable. The greatest joy that I know is when I'm fully and completely of service from love, no strings attached. That is such a wonderful experience and feeling, to be truly of service. It's so powerful to stand in that place of just open-hearted giving, no strings attached. The martyr always has strings attached. They do. And a lot of times they want to present this picture that they're selflessly giving, but then they're not a martyr. They're empowered. They're living their destiny. There's no sacrifice. Only the one who believes in sacrifice, only the one who is giving something in order to get something in return, feels like a martyr. So I invite you to look deeply, to turn within right now. And where are you feeling that martyr energy? Are you feeling that you're making sacrifices, that you're doing so much for other people who don't appreciate it? If that's the case, are you actually giving from your heart? If you're giving to people who don't appreciate it, are you trying to get something from them? Or are you trying to manipulate them in some way? Because when we're giving from the heart, we don't need anything back, including a thank you. When you're giving from the heart, the giving is the thank you. It's so wonderful to be able to give freely. I know, because I used to yearn for the opportunity to share with even one person this connection with God. I laugh. I tell stories in my other classes sometimes about how I would be invited over to my friend's house for a party or a barbecue or something like that. And I'd say, hey, what if I came early and I helped you set up? And while we were setting up, we could just talk about God for a while before everybody got there. And my friends who knew me well would say, sure, okay, Jennifer. Because we would get together just to talk about God. Hey, let's all have dinner and talk about God. And it's such a joy. So to be able to offer a class and share, it's like my weekly radio show. I've been doing my radio show this summer. I'm going to have 300 episodes. We're coming up to the 300th episode. We're 280-something episodes. And by the way, you can get all those radio show broadcasts at livingacourseinmiracles.com. And you can sign up for them as a podcast, either at, from the Living A Course in Miracles site. And you can do it through Stitcher or iTunes. And we've got both links there. And you can also download transcripts. So if there are any episodes of the radio show that you really like and you'd like the transcript, if we haven't transcribed it yet, you can write to us and let us know at admin@jenniferhadley.com, admin@jenniferhadley.com, and we'll put it to the top of the list of the radio show transcriptions. And by the way, all those transcripts are free for you, because people donate to support that effort so that the deaf, the hard of hearing, can have those transcripts to read, because they can't listen to the radio show, obviously. And that's one of the reasons why we transcribe these classes, so that people who have hearing issues can easily read them. And also people for whom English is a second language, it's very helpful to them in being able to really understand the class. They can read and listen at the same time, and that's very helpful to them. Many people have let me know they really appreciate that. So a huge thank you to all the people who support all these classes and the radio show, the transcription, and being able to offer all of this for free. Also, I record a daily prayer. I offer a daily prayer and daily inspiration, and those prayers are transcribed as well. And you can download those prayers to we have a podcast of the prayers as well. And so all of that is available for you for free because people contribute and make tax-deductible donations to the Power of Love Ministry, which funds everything that we're doing. So thank you, thank you, thank you to the beautiful people who do that. You are in my prayers every day. And so for me, I feel so grateful when I can share with even one person and we can authentically connect. This is my greatest gift. But I remember what it felt like when I was giving to get. And I would do a workshop for people and on a love offering, and maybe there was very little love offering, and I would feel a bit of resentment, like I gave my all. That quickly ended because I realized that my needing to get something in return was blocking the flow. Since all is one, if we give all to all, that's how we have all. That's what A Course in Miracles tells us. To have, give all to all. So to have love, give love to all. to have peace, give peace to all, to have prosperity, share prosperity consciousness with everyone. If you are thinking that someone doesn't deserve something that they have, what you're really doing is projecting your own thought that you don't deserve to have good. People who complain a lot, they block the flow of prosperity. That's part of the crucifixion story that can be given up. I used to do that. I used to participate in gossip and things like that. I used to participate a lot in complaining about other people. And the Course has really helped me to see that that just keeps the pain going. And we will learn through pain, but it's just not the fastest way to learn, and it's certainly a very painful way to learn. So what we are doing, many of us, is we're holding our brothers and sisters responsible for our crucifixion. We're saying that they're doing it to us, but they're really not. They're showing up to mirror to us what is in our awareness, in our consciousness, in our belief system. People cannot treat us poorly and have it bother us unless we are being triggered. If we are being triggered, it means that we've got some agreement, some belief that we don't deserve, that something's wrong, we're taking it personally. Whenever we take something personally, whenever we take something personally, what we're doing actually is we're not noticing a big flashing neon sign that is saying, you believe something false. So let's say somebody doesn't return my call, and I take it personally and think, oh, that means they don't respect me. They don't care about me. They don't value me. It doesn't mean that at all. We have no idea what it means. But if I don't respect me, then I'm going to take it personally. I'm going to take it as what it is. It's a projection of my own beliefs about myself. So when we are thinking that someone has done something to us and we're a victim or a martyr, we're sacrificing ourselves. Either way, we're holding a picture of our crucifixion up to our brother or sister that we're blaming. That's what we're doing. And so we're affirming that we are being crucified and that they should feel guilty and feel bad. They should feel guilty and they should feel bad. Whenever we think that, we are sowing the seeds of our misery, our absolute misery and suffering. And this is why one of the most challenging lessons of A Course in Miracles, I do not know what anything is for. Lesson 25, I do not know what anything is for. Everything is for my learning. Everything is for my healing. Beyond that, I do not know what anything is for. So let me not pretend that I do, so that I can learn what it's for and have a healing and not repeat this anymore. If we think we know that a brother or sister betrayed us or did what they did because there's something wrong with them or there's something wrong with me, either way, it's a lose-lose. I do not know what anything is for. Takes us out of the crucifixion. It's one of the simplest ways to shift that crucifixion pattern of energy. So remember, people who act like a martyr believe they have to sacrifice their happiness, their health, their wealth, or even themselves in order to make someone else happy or to liberate them. And many martyrs will sacrifice themselves when no one is asking them to, and then they will resent it, and then they will try to make people feel guilty, right? We can laugh about it in a Woody Allen movie or something like that, but and people do make a lot of jokes that this is a Jewish pattern or a Catholic pattern or a religious pattern. But I say it's a human pattern. It's an ego pattern of telling people they should feel guilty because I chose to sacrifice myself. You should feel guilty for all that I did for you, all that I sacrificed for you, all that I gave you. You should feel guilty. And people keep it going and keep it going. I'm going to invite you to turn within now and just think, where have you been thinking that other people should feel guilty because of what they've done or not done, or what you have sacrificed? Others should feel guilty, or even that they should feel thankful. Keeping that pattern going is staying in the crucifixion and preventing your resurrection. In the text, it's my page 95, it's chapter 6, section 1. Section 1 is called The Message of the Crucifixion, and it's in paragraph 16 that I'm going to point you towards, where it says, as you read the teachings of the apostles, remember that I told them myself that there was much they would understand later, because they were not wholly ready to follow me at the time. Now think about that, right? Luke, Mark, John, Peter, he's saying, dudes, there's so much you're going to understand later. Because they weren't fully ready to follow Jesus at that time, to follow him into the crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, follow him into heaven in their mind. So think of it. These were people that lived with him, traveled with him for some time, were getting direct teachings with him on most days, and yet still they were not completely ready to follow him. Even imagine being in that Christ energy with the risen Christ right there. I mean, many of us have had some feeling of connecting with spirit, with Jesus, that where it felt transcendent, even a moment of just total transcendence. Well, the apostles were really lifted up into a much higher transcendence, I think, than many of us have ever experienced. And yet they still weren't ready, still weren't entirely willing to follow him at that time. But he's not thinking, oh, losers, losers, these apostles are such losers. Why can't I have some apostles that are worthy? No, he's not thinking that at all. He understands, right? He understands. We're having a human journey of waking up. And he says, I do not want you, speaking to us, to allow any fear to enter into the thought system toward which I am guiding you. I do not call for martyrs, but for teachers. No one is punished for sins, and the sons of God are not sinners. So right now, I'm inviting you to consider, have you been punishing yourself for things that you believe are your sins? Jesus is telling us very plainly, very clearly, no one is punished for sins, and the sons of God are not sinners. We're the sons of God. We are not sinners. There will be no punishment for our errors. The times when we could have chosen love, but we didn't. The times when we could have learned through joy, but we didn't. So we chose something else. We're never going to be punished for that, ever. Ever. There is no punishment. And yet, if we're trying to make others feel guilty for our sacrifices, for what they did to us, aren't we making all of that so real? And what is the net effect in our life? I have had experiences where I blamed other people for my misery. They didn't even know they did something. And yet I'm blaming them for it. How crazy is that? It's insane. Absolutely insane. So no one is punished for sins, and the sons of God are not sinners. Any concept of punishment involves the projection of blame and reinforces the idea that blame is justified. The result is a lesson in blame, for all behavior teaches the beliefs that motivate it. So when we try to make people feel guilty, that behavior teaches the beliefs that motivate it. The crucifixion was the result of clearly opposed thought systems, the perfect symbol of a conflict between the ego and the Son of God. So the crucifixion was the perfect symbol of the, and its conflict is in quotes here, between the ego and the Son of God. You see, there is no real conflict between the ego and the Son of God. Why? Because the ego is an illusion. It's not real. So there can't be any real conflict. There can only be the illusion, delusion of conflict. And it says, this conflict seems just as real now, the conflict of the crucifixion, seems just as real now, and its lesson must be learned now as well as then. I do not need gratitude, but you need to develop your weakened ability to be grateful, or you cannot appreciate God. So we learn to be grateful for God, that God is good all of the time, that we are of God, that God is our Father, Mother, Holy Spirit, best friend, everything. And we are of God now and forever. These things cannot change. There are no sins. This we can be grateful for. It says here, God does not need your appreciation, but you do. You need your appreciation of God. That's what it's teaching us here. We need our appreciation of God to raise us up to an awareness of the truth that sets us free. It says, you cannot love what you do not appreciate, for fear makes appreciation impossible. When you are afraid of what you are, you do not appreciate it, and will therefore reject it. As a result, you will teach rejection. So we don't appreciate that we are the sons of God, that we are the life of God, that we are the love of God, that our hand is the hand of God in this world, that our mind is the mind of God, that our life is the life of God. We don't fully appreciate these things, and therefore we're afraid of them, afraid of the responsibility, afraid to make mistakes, afraid to really throw ourselves into our learning. We hold ourselves back. Goes on to say, the power of the sons of God is present all the time because they were created as creators. Their influence on each other is without limit and must be used for their joint salvation. Each one must learn to teach that all forms of rejection are meaningless. All forms of rejection are meaningless. So we are created in the spiritual image and likeness of God as creators. And our influence on each other is without limit. You see, and this is one of the things that keeps us playing so, so small. Because most spiritual students that I encounter are afraid to stand in their power because they know sometimes they get angry and they will misuse their thoughts. So they will miscreate. And they will do things to try to make people feel guilty or ashamed or bad or wrong. And it's because we're avoiding those experiences, which are so painful, to attack our brothers and sisters, so painful. In order to avoid all of that, we play small and we don't really engage. We still complain, we still judge. But we're afraid that if we really stood in our power and remembered how powerful our word is, how powerful our thought is, then what would happen is we would be terrified that we're going to miscreate using our word and our thought. So instead of paying attention and being willing to pay attention to how we use our word and our thought, instead we prefer to go unconscious. And this is the thing that I realized, and that was the decision I made, was not to be unconscious anymore. And to forgive myself for any judgment that I had about myself that I'm still learning every day. That I'm not already finished with my resurrection, but instead to move into a place of enjoying the resurrection, enjoying waking up to God, enjoying rising in love, because we can enjoy it. It doesn't have to be painful. Not at all. And this is what I'm going to focus more on in our homework class tomorrow, the rising in joy. And I'm inviting you to really look at and contemplate where you have been acting as a victim, where you've been acting as a martyr. Who do you think you're a victim of? To really look at this, I find writing a very useful, journaling a very useful tool for looking at things, therapy also. And so I'm inviting you to make a deep inquiry, as we say in my other classes in Masterful Living and Finding Freedom. We make these inquiries without looking for who to blame or who did something wrong, but how can we shift the energy and move into joy, move into rising in love? Because we can. And this is our destiny. We're going to get there, so we might as well move it along instead of delaying. This pattern of trying to make other people feel guilty for what we actually chose is so thick. I used to have such a defensive nature, defending and defending and defending. And we've got, of course, A Course in Miracles Lesson 135. If I defend myself, I'm affirming that I've been attacked. Why would I wish to affirm I've been attacked when in actuality, it's not possible. Only the appearance of attack is possible in the illusion. And if we're willing to say that I'm divinely guided and protected, no one can attack, we can have a different experience. Truly we can. So I'm going to close this out here with a prayer. And I'm very grateful for your listening, your paying attention. If you'd like some extra support, if you are now feeling, because this sometimes happens, that maybe you're feeling ashamed, maybe you're blaming yourself, maybe you're realizing that some of the patterns you've been operating with have caused a great deal of suffering that was unnecessary. All of that, if you'd like to forgive yourself, or if there's someone else you'd like to forgive, I have a free forgiveness workshop on the homepage at jenniferhadley.com. It's totally free for you, and it's called How to Get Over It, and you can go get that right now. It's another wonderful tool for you to use, and I encourage you to gather some people together and do them together. It's so powerful when you can do that. We're also, for those of you who have been participating, we're working on our brand new program for free text messages, inspirational text messages and class reminders. We're working out the kinks with the technology. So hang in there. We're learning and we're figuring it out. And sometimes it's much more of a process than I ever thought it would be or could be. But I'm grateful that we're going to be able to offer these free inspirational SMS text messages so you can get that unexpected inspiration on your phone. So nice when one of my prayer partners sends me a text, and even if they're asking for prayer or they're sending some inspiration or they're telling me, sending some appreciation. It's wonderful to get those sweet little text messages. I really enjoy that about technology these days. All right, so let's take that breath of love and gratitude here and be so grateful and so thankful that love is all that we are. Love is all that there is. There is nothing else, no one else. There is only spirit, pure spirit, God. And only God. We are grateful and thankful to once again partner up with the higher Holy Spirit itself for the purpose of remembering and recognizing our true nature is already free. We are willing to stand in that freedom, stand in the joy, stand in the peace, stand in the harmony. We are grateful and thankful to open ourselves to unprecedented healing. We are grateful and thankful to forgive ourselves of every bit of remorse. There are no sins. We are not sinners. We are grateful and thankful to give the Holy Spirit the heavy lifting of all sense of regret, all sense of guilt and shame, blame, resentment, anything that we have been harboring against a seeming betrayer, anything that we've been holding on to that's causing physical illness, that's causing mental and emotional distress, that's causing poverty, any thought whatsoever that's causing a block to love, we're surrendering it here and now. We are grateful and thankful to allow it to be taken off of us. We are grateful and thankful to willingly offer every thought that does not serve our life of joy. In gratitude, we are sharing the benefits with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we're setting ourselves free. We let it be. And so it is. Amen. 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 God bless you. I love you. And I'll be back here with you tomorrow. Same bat channel, same bat time. Thank you. Mwah.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.